The Sports Cast, April 16th, 2021, mid-April, if you haven't yet. Please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitter, and Apple Podcast. And if you're listening on Apple Podcast, you can leave a rating and review. It will help us out tremendously. We're also on Alexa. We're also on Spotify. We're also on iHeart, if you're an iHeart fan. We're in most of the podcast channels. So if you want to hook us up there, link us up. And we're coming to Android soon, but that's all I'm saying. Visit us on thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net, or the app on this, The Sportscast. You can listen to all our shows there and also read the news, the latest. Steve Spurrier's opened up a restaurant in Gainesville. I'll be there opening day. No, I'm kidding. Anyways, this year's NFL draft starts at number three, but we can't forget number one. You know, yes, Jaguars are going to select a guy named Trevor Lawrence. Jacksonville is feeling very comfortable right now. Urban Meyer is feeling very comfortable. And another person feeling comfortable, Jordan DeLugo from Generation Jag. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
I wouldn't say I'm feeling comfortable. Talk to me the day after day three of the draft, and then we'll talk.
Exactly. A lot's going to happen between now and then. Jacksonville's owner, I love the owner, actually. Great history. Very patient. That's what they say. Very patient owner. Gets Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer goes to Jacksonville because of this guy named Trevor Lawrence. And he's not going to Cleveland, which I'm going to ask Jordan about that. But NFL draft is in a few weeks, April 29th on a Thursday. We'll be having a big show that night, and also the day before we'll be doing some mock drafts, and we'll be announcing that soon. But anyways, Jordan, tell us your thoughts right now, your emotions heading towards the draft.
So obviously Trevor Lawrence coming to Jacksonville, first number one overall pick in franchise history, if you can believe that. Kind of shocking. After all the down years that the Jaguars have had over the last decade and a half. But Trevor Lawrence on his way to Duval, he's the apple of Urban Meyer's eye. He's the reason that Urban Meyer is in Jacksonville. So, yeah, he's on his way. And after that, you've got a lot of holes you can address, got a lot of draft capital, 10 more picks beyond the number one overall pick. So they've got plenty of directions that they could go in.
As we said before, Jacksonville gets the first pick. What is your thoughts over him not going to Cleveland to the NFL draft, you know, possibly meeting the owner and Urban Meyer? Was that something you've heard for a while, or what are your thoughts over it?
I don't really have any thoughts. I think everybody is entitled to do what they want to do. It's not going to take him long to get well acquainted with Shad Khan. He's already well acquainted with Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer is the one that set up that impromptu pro day so he could go get his labrum repaired. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think there's anything to look at there, honestly.
Another, of course, Jacksonville does not necessarily have that. I mean, yes, have that first pick, but they have a few other picks in the first round. They got the 25th pick. They got the 32nd, third in the second round, and then the 65th on round three, and so on, so on.
45 as well in round two.
45. I forgot to bold that sucker. Yeah. Jordan, tell us what other positions or spots does Jacksonville need or to have a successful draft this year?
Yeah, so they have several needs. You look at interior defensive line, which I believe they should go claim Maurice Hurst, who was waived by the Raiders yesterday. He's a young player that I think if you address that, then you're going into the draft. Having another need kind of crossed off the list, so you don't have to worry about that as much. But safety, I think you could definitely upgrade there. I think you need tight end is the biggest need. I think from the outside view of the Jaguars and internally, I think that they believe tight end is their biggest need. So you're looking at tight end, safety. A lot of the other areas have really been shored up. I believe offensive tackle is a need, looking at Jawan Taylor coming off a very poor second season in the league and Cam Robinson's on the franchise tag this year. But I don't think internally inside that building that the Jaguars believe offensive tackle is a big need. I think they like their guys. I think they like their offensive line coach, and they believe they're going to get a lot more out of that group than they did in 2020. So, yeah, I think you're going to see tight end early. I think you're going to see safety early. If they don't go get Maurice Hurst, I think you're going to see interior defensive line early. You could see an edge rusher to supplement what they've got right now, which is pretty much just Josh Allen, Kalavon Chaisson, and DeJuan Smoot. So that's where I'd be looking at for the Jaguars to go early in the draft.
You said positions. Can you name me some names that you like to see on this roster?
Yeah, so if you look at the 25th overall pick, I think Trayvon Mayrig from TCU, the safety, he makes a ton of sense because he's very versatile. He can play single high. He can line up in the slot, covering tight ends, covering slot receivers. He rolls downhill very effectively against the run, sure tackler at the safety spot for a free safety, and he's a ball hawk. 20 pass breakups over the last 2 years, 6 interceptions, and he's just very consistent, assignment sound from play to play. I think his instincts help him out a lot. He's a guy at safety that would make a lot of sense at 25. I think Pat Freiermuth, the tight end from Penn State, probably the consensus tight end 2 in this class. He's a guy that doesn't have the speed that necessarily Urban Meyer is always talking about, but he can block in line. He can absolutely dominate from the slot. He's not the ultimate athlete at the tight end position, but he is a plus athlete, and he's got the surest hands you'll find in the NFL draft.
Jacksonville Jaguars looking good for the draft, as Jordan said. Let's look at staff-wise. Of course, Urban Meyer got hired about a couple months ago. Has he added some more significant pieces in his coaching staff?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the coaching staff's filled out. I think they have something close to 30 coaches on the staff, so a lot more coaches than you see at a lot of teams around the league, and certainly more than there were in Jacksonville prior. His right-hand man is Charlie Strong. They go back to their Florida days together, and they have a very strong relationship. He's the linebackers coach, inside linebackers coach, and the assistant head coach. So he's going to have a big responsibility in Jacksonville. Daryl Bevel, he's the offensive coordinator. He's coming over from Detroit, where he had a couple good years with Matt Stafford. And prior to that, he was in Seattle. There's a huge Seattle connection with this coaching staff. You got Daryl Bevel, who was their OC for quite a while. The guy they replaced Daryl Bevel with, Brian Schottenheimer, is now the Jaguars passing game coordinator. Then you look at Sanjay Lal, who was a coach for the Seahawks last year as well. He has a lot of history with the Cowboys. He came over as the wide receiver coach. And then the special teams coach, Brian Schneider, also a former Seahawks coach. So there's a huge Seattle connection in Jacksonville. And it'll be interesting to see how that plays out, how that all works.
Which is not a bad thing, right?
I don't think so. I think Urban Meyer sees the type of success that Pete Carroll, another former college head coach turned pro head coach, had success with these types of guys, and they seem to be fits for the type of culture and the type of team that Urban Meyer is looking to build in Jacksonville.
Urban Meyer made some noise about a month ago saying that in the NFL, they don't they were not allowed to meet. I mean, not allowed, but they were not able to meet with certain players in person. He says, well, in my day, we used to, you know, meet them at for coffee or in person to get to know the player. What were your thoughts over his comments, and maybe clarify a little bit what happened?
I don't think there's much to clear up. He just wishes that you could meet someone before signing them to a multi-million dollar deal. I don't think that's breaking news. I think most coaches would like that. Obviously, not all coaches come out and talk about it, but I think it's a fair criticism of the way the free agent process works. Honestly, why would you want to sign someone to a multi-million dollar deal in any business without – my dog's whining. We got to get her up
here.
Hey,
welcome her in. Or is it a he or a she?
She.
Oh, welcome her in. Yeah, anytime.
Yeah. But – yeah, so I think it's a fair criticism. I don't think any businessman would want to be, or woman, would want to be spending that type of money without having a face-to-face conversation with a player, which you're not allowed to do, you know, throughout the legal tampering period. You're only allowed to speak with their representation. So it is a weird process. I'm not sure why the NFL runs it that way, honestly. And I agree with Meyer's criticism. It makes sense.
Rules of sales, you close the deal in person.
Yep.
And even during the COVID age, I think you do your best. If you have to wear a mask or a mask or a shield at the meeting, go for it. But I'd rather close.
Right, and they're not even allowed to speak with the players on the phone or via Zoom prior to agreeing to terms.
Interesting. Yeah. Urban Meyer, what do you think? I mean, obviously, yes, we know his playing style, but what do you think his personality will be like in the NFL season? Do you think it'll be outspoken, making some news on TMZ, things like that? Like, what do you think his – what type of coach he will be, you think?
I'm not sure TMZ is in his future, but I do think he'll make some headlines because he's going to be honest. Obviously, we saw his honesty with how he felt about the free agent process. He's been pretty transparent in terms of the Jaguars roster needs so far. So I think you'll get a very honest, honest coach when it comes to the press conferences. He's going to tell it like he sees it. And then in terms of inside the building, he's all about building relationships. He's made that clear throughout his college coaching career. He wants inside the building to be a family. He wants to get to know the players very well. Josh Allen attested to that, the Jaguars edge rusher. He spoke with ESPN recently and talked about how he can just see that Urban Meyer is really taking the time to get to know all the players. I think that's going to be part of the program that he's building, just a lot of connectedness between coaches and players.
Sounds like Jordan likes him. And I think hopefully he will not be like the other, you know, top college coaches that didn't do well in the NFL. Didn't really translate their success, but maybe Urban Meyer can, and he does have the weapons.
And right. I think a lot of the reasons for some of the other coaches that haven't really made it as college coaches going into the NFL, I think there's some stubbornness, like my way is going to work, and just inadaptability. They're not willing to grow and learn as coaches. Some of these guys, when you look at the past, Chip Kelly, he was stuck in his ways. Harbaugh, he had some success, obviously, but he's also very hard-headed. Steve Spurrier came in, and I don't think he knew what to expect, to be quite honest, and he was very overwhelmed by that. But when you look at the guys who are willing to learn and build a program and get players that are going to buy into that program and really work their asses off, which Urban Meyer is going to do.
Yeah, man.
He's a tireless worker. I'd be surprised if he doesn't have some success in the NFL.
True. I've heard his practices are pretty intense, pretty regiment. And, yeah, we'll see what happens. I'm very optimistic with his time in the NFL coming up, and I think it's going to be better than Spurrier, that's for sure. And possibly,
yeah, the one thing I really think he does need to hone in on is taking a back seat a little bit, and not being so, like, he would basically be running the special teams portion of practices in college, and he just had to have his hand in every little pot, and I think it stressed him out too much, and that's, you know, some of the health problems and stress problems you've seen with him in the past. He's going to need to manage that. And it can be very difficult in the NFL when you're losing games to, you know, keep yourself as stress-free as possible. This is one of the most stressful jobs you can have. And managing that stress is going to be one of the keys for Urban Meyer.
I agree. We'll see what happens. Looking forward to the Jacksonville Jaguars. I've always liked this organization, even though I'm a Miami Dolphin fan, but I like to cheer Florida teams as well to shine. You know, Tampa Bay did it last year. We'll see if the Dolphins or the Jaguars will seek success in the next couple of years. NFL draft is in a few weeks, 2 weeks, a little bit less than 2 weeks to be exact. Everyone's doing their mock drafts. Everyone's putting their money on it, but Jordan not just covers the Jacksonville Jaguars. He does look at the NFL draft order and looks at potential players going there. Let's start. Of course, Jaguars, he has Trevor Lawrence, unless he says no. He thinks another player is going to be there.
It's Trevor.
Okay. Let's go number two, New York Jets, a team that is moving past Sam Darnold. Who do you got going there?
Yeah, I think the Jets should take Justin Fields. I think he's easily, when you look at the board, the best player. But all signs are pointing to Zach Wilson. There's been a lot of buzz about that. I think it's pretty clear that it's going to happen. And I don't think the 49ers would have traded up to three had they not known the Jets were going to take Zach Wilson.
Yeah, and I've noticed Justin Fields' stock has went up, especially having that second pro day a couple of days ago, which I think was a smart move because he had his first pro day was in the same day as Mac Jones, and all the attention went to Mac Jones. But let's go to the Niners. Interesting pick there because I've been seeing now more Justin Fields than Mac Jones. It's becoming more – I mean, I've been seeing a lot of mock-ups, and I don't know the percentage who has more Mac Jones than Justin Fields. But, Jordan, who do you have going to Silicon Valley?
Yeah, like you mentioned, he had that second pro day, and that's when Kyle Shanahan got to come in and kind of get his hands on Justin Fields a little bit, see what he can do in person. So I think Justin Fields is a far superior football player, quarterback, all of the above to Mac Jones. I think Justin Fields is the pick.
Would be funny if Mac Jones said, hey, I'd love to have a second pro day, please.
I think he did have two pro days, honestly. He participated in pro days 2 weeks in a row.
Interesting. These pro days have become more have more value because I believe they didn't have the combine this year, right?
Right. With no combine. They did do the medical combine, but there's no on-field work for the combine this year. So, yeah, these pro days are as close as you're going to get to the combine.
Very valuable. Hey, no problem going to Tuscaloosa in March or April. Fourth, Atlanta Falcons, another one that potentially, hearing rumors, they could trade down or they might get some receivers. But, Jordan, what do you think is going to happen at that fourth pick?
For me, this is where the draft starts. I think it's very interesting. You've got a whole new regime here with Terry Fontenot, the GM, coming over from New Orleans, Arthur Smith from Tennessee. I wouldn't be surprised if they really want to like supplement their offense with a weapon, Kyle Pitts, Ja'Marr Chase. But I've got them taking Trey Lance. This is something I want to see happen because I think he'd be a great fit there behind Matt Ryan, sitting for a year and then taking over. It's a long play. It's not a short-term win in terms of it's not going to help them probably in week one this year, but it's a move that could really stabilize that franchise for the next 10 years or so. And I think Trey Lance is certainly deserving of that pick. He's got all the physical tools you could want. He's a tireless worker. In terms of pre-snap understanding of what the defense is doing and getting your checks and all that stuff, Trey Lance might be the most advanced quarterback in this class doing that. And so I think there's a little bit of a narrative that he's the rawest guy, and he does have the least experience. That's absolutely true. But when you look at what he did on the field in terms of pre-snap, he's definitely got it upstairs. And huge arm, big frame. I think he's a great prospect. I'd love to see the Falcons make him the fourth overall pick, and that would be the first time in NFL history that quarterbacks have gone 1, 2, 3, 4.
Wow. I definitely like to see that. And I like that pick because that leaves the Dolphins with more receiver options by the time they get to the sixth pick. So we'll see. We'll see what Jordan says at number six. But before we get there, let's go to Cincinnati Bengals. They got Joe Burrow there. And there is a receiver in the open that he's very familiar with, and let's see if Jordan picks that certain player.
Yep, there certainly is, and I know Joe Burrow is pounding the table for him. Conventional wisdom says that Cincinnati needs to take an offensive tackle to protect Joe Burrow. I don't disagree with that, but this is a very deep offensive tackle class. You could probably get something later on. So like you said, I've got Ja'Marr Chase, LSU receiver who had just a monster season in 2019 with Joe Burrow passing him the ball. I've got the Bengals reconnecting those two, and I think that could be a very special combination for years to come.
That is something that people are saying. Do you think Chase is the best receiver in this draft class?
Absolutely, without question. He's in a tier by himself.
I agree, and I think there's another tackle from LSU that is pretty good that he could go in that pick, right? Is that what I've heard?
I'm not sure about the tackle from LSU.
Maybe not.
I missed that. Yeah.
Scratch that. It might be. Anyways, let's go to my team, the Miami Dolphins, the green and orange. Hey, no Chase, but it's okay because there's some other options out there that could complement a second-year quarterback, Tua Tagovailoa. Jordan, please make me smile on this pick.
I'm going to do my best here, okay? So the Dolphins, they have a lot of needs, obviously. Defense, pretty good last year. That was the reason that they were able to really compete down the stretch. I do think you want to go help Tua Tagovailoa, and I think you're going to do it with the top-ranked player that is not a quarterback in this draft class, which is Kyle Pitts, tight end from the University of Florida. He can play tight end, receiver, slot. You name it, he can do it. He's a unicorn at the tight end position, just absolutely an unbelievable prospect, and I think he would make Tua Tagovailoa very happy. I think he would be able to fit in there with Mike Gesicki and really open up the field for the rest of those receivers and the running game.
Yeah, that's something that I've heard a lot, that what you were saying, Pitts could be a wide receiver. You know, Gesicki is playing good at his position. The fantasy people love him, by the way.
Yeah, Gesicki, he plays primarily from the slot. Pitts can line up in line, you know, inside of Gesicki, or he can line up outside. I think they're not redundant in any way when you're looking at having both of those guys.
Devontae Smith is another option. I've been hearing a lot of familiarity for Tua. Is that something that would not be a bad thing if they get for the six, or Kyle Pitts is just a no-brainer? You got to go with Kyle.
If you took Devontae Smith over Kyle Pitts, I think you'd be overvaluing the Heisman Trophy, personally.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Number seven, Detroit Lions, where they say dreams die. What's going to happen in Detroit?
Hopefully for this player, it is not where dreams go to die. But with this run on quarterbacks and skill players, you've got Penei Sewell falling all the way to number seven. He's the top offensive tackle in the draft, according to many. I think the Lions would be happy to scoop him up at this point. And he's 330 pounds. He's an absolute man, even though he's only he's going to be 19 years old in week one of the NFL season. Which is pretty incredible. So I think he's a guy that the Lions would really value with his physicality and athletic ability at the tackle spot.
One of Mario Cristobal's, one of his recruits, definitely shining in the top 10. Definitely this young man is going to do a lot. And like you were saying, I mean, he could have played professional from after high school, but anyways.
No doubt about it.
Number eight, Carolina Panthers. They just got Sam Darnold. Looks like he is the man. Of course, you got Teddy Bridgewater in that loop as well. What's going to happen in Carolina, Jordan?
Yeah, I don't think this is the ideal situation for the Panthers. I think they would have probably liked to see a Jamar Chase, Pitts, or Sewell fall to them, or even Trey Lance. But with the way the board fell, I think getting Rashawn Slater in there, he can play offensive tackle, left tackle, right tackle, left guard, right guard. He can play anywhere on the offensive line. He's going to be one of your best offensive linemen, probably their best offensive lineman from the get-go, and help protect Sam Darnold, who they made an investment in for whatever reason, and try to get this thing going in the right direction in year two of Matt Rhule.
There you have it, Carolina Panthers. Denver Broncos number nine, question mark, with Drew Lock. I don't know if Jordan's questioning Drew Lock as well. Who do you have going to number nine?
I do question Drew Lock, but at this point in the draft with the top four quarterbacks off the board, I don't think you're really upgrading if you go and get Mac Jones or anything like that right now. So I think you probably are going to have to roll with Drew Lock going into 2020, at least not overvaluing one of these quarterbacks who's not quite as talented. Maybe you take one a little later on and let him duke it out with Locke this offseason, see who you like better. But at this point, the Broncos obviously need a shutdown cornerback. Caleb Farley's got the back injuries going on. Otherwise, he would be the clear-cut pick here for me. So I think they're going to go with Patrick Surtain. Very physical, very athletic corner. I don't think he has the fluidity in and out of breaks that you want from an elite cornerback, but I do think he's going to be a very good starter for a lot of years, and I think Denver will be happy to get him at number nine.
Patrick Surtain to Denver Broncos. Unbelievable, because I know the Cowboys want him badly. Who's going to Dallas now, Jordan?
J.C. Horn, another cornerback. He's got all the physical skill in the world. I think he has a much higher upside than Pat Surtain. I think he could be one of the top press man type corners in the NFL, but he's got to work on his hands. He is just super grabby, super physical. He's going to get flagged all day if he doesn't clean that up a little bit. But the physical talent is unbelievable. And you look at his production in 2020 at South Carolina, I don't think you can go wrong there, really, if you're a team that's in need of a cornerback like the Cowboys are.
And there you have it. The Cowboys win it anyways. That was our top 10. Due to time, we cannot go all the way to the seventh round.
Sorry, I'm talking too much.
No, this is good stuff. I mean, I was not going to talk about like the Giants. Well, actually, okay. There's a lot of Giants listeners. I'll give you the Giants. Who you have going there?
This was a really interesting pick for me. There's a lot of directions they could go. I went Micah Parsons. He's a guy that the only question about him is his off-field ability or off-field character. He's had a couple things pop up throughout his college career that are pretty concerning. And so you just got to vet him in that regard. But on the field, this is a guy that can attack. He's such a good physical, athletic, freaky linebacker that at this point in the draft, he's clearly the most talented player on the board for me. But it's just the question of his off-field concerns.
Micah Parsons, I've heard that name floating in Giants circles. Okay, so there is a Mac Jones still around. Who do you have him? Where does he land?
15 to the New England Patriots. I know that's been a common spot. Frankly, I think Bill Belichick is really going to want to get a quarterback at some point in this draft. And if he doesn't have to trade up to get Mac Jones, I think it makes a lot of sense. Jones idolizes Tom Brady. It's going to take a lot for him to have the type of career or have half the career that Tom Brady has had. But if there's a guy that can perhaps emulate Tom Brady, maybe it's Mac Jones. I don't have faith in him as a, you know, first overall or first round pick. Or certainly not a top three pick, as some people have talked about. But I think at this point in the draft, 15, I could see the Patriots trading out of this pick to acquire more picks. But I've got Mac Jones going to the Patriots.
Yeah, that's something that the quarterback is a question mark in New England. Of course, Cam, they re-signed him for another season. I think he's a bridge quarterback still. And, of course, Jared Stidham, I think they're not seeing what they want to see from him. So that they probably might go to quarterback. You don't see the Patriots trading up, or do you think just be trading down?
Honestly, Bill Belichick wouldn't surprise me with anything he does.
I know, right?
But I think the Belichickian move would be to trade down here and probably just land a value pick around the 20s.
I agree, Jordan. I think that's something that he would do. He is not ashamed of it. And by the way, he turned 69 today. So happy birthday, Bill Belichick.
Happy birthday. Nice.
There you have it. And, of course, you can see Jordan's picks, his top 10, and also the 11th on our SportsCats notes, show notes right below. And another sports news before we go, NFL partners with Caesars, DraftKings, and FanDuel as official sporting betting partners. So things are getting serious with the NFL, isn't it?
Yeah, no question. I mean, I think now is a good time to be invested in all the different gambling entities out there. If you can get your hands in the pot, I think it's time to get going.
Yeah, that's something that I'm surprised that it has lasted till now that there's been no gambling. But hey, you know, there's a first time for everything. Predictions? You're not a soccer guy. So if I asked you who will win between Minnesota at Seattle, you wouldn't know.
I have no clue. I know that the Sounders have a storied history, even though they're one of the younger teams around. They might not even be one of the younger teams anymore. I do remember when they came out, I don't know, 10, 15 years back, but
yeah,
I know they've had some success. I don't know much about Minnesota.
And Champions League?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I don't even know what's going on.
No worries, no pressure. It's okay. But there is one question you can answer. Favorite fast food breakfast sandwich? Choices are McDonald's Egg McMuffin, Burger King Croissant Sandwich, Subway Flatbread, or the Wendy's Baconator?
You're missing the number one pick.
The Chick-fil-A one, right? It's always the Chick-fil-A
breakfast sandwich, obviously.
You could choose that
Chick-fil-A
one.
Chick-fil-A biscuit.
There you go. That's Chick-fil-A biscuit. I like them, too. I totally forgot about Chick-fil-A. Anyways, McDonald's is winning. The Egg McMuffin's winning 62%. Second place, the Croissant Witch at 18%. Baconator at 14%. And the Subway Flatbread at 6%.
If I had to rank them, those four, I think I would take probably McDonald's, Wendy's, Burger King, Subway.
Yeah, and I should have replaced Subway with Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, that'd probably be the easy winner.
That was an easy switch. Like, who goes to Subway for breakfast? I have not met one person who's done that.
Yeah, honestly, Chick-fil-A now their breakfast is the main attraction.
Oh yeah.
So many other fast food franchises are getting in on the chicken sandwich game that lunchtime, the chicken sandwich from Chick-fil-A is not as important as it used to be.
It's unbelievable.
With Popeyes and Zaxby's and all these people getting in on the game.
Have you tried the Burger King one? It's pretty good.
No, I actually haven't.
It's pretty good. Like, they have a jalapeno pickles.
Is it like a new recipe type of deal like everybody else is doing?
It's very new. Definitely, yeah. You know, it's thicker, it's more crispier, and it's, you know, it tastes, it's similar to Chick-fil-A, but it's just like its own style. And McDonald's is all right, but I think Burger King did a better job, but Chick-fil-A is still king, so I can't.
I'll have to check it out. I'm trying to avoid those types of things right now. We got our wedding redo coming up in May, so we're on the wedding diet.
Oh, congratulations. Wow, that's awesome. Yeah. Hopefully. Oh, yeah. Did you get married during COVID and then you got to like redo it?
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Dude. So we're going to be able to have our friends and family and a whole bunch of people there.
That's good.
Last
dude.
Time it was just a very limited amount of people.
Dude, you know how many people said, yeah, I mean, I'll do it after COVID. They're not going to do it. But people like you, you put a lot of energy in it and you're doing it. Congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Anyways, Jordan, what is the best way for people to reach you to ask you about wedget to ask you about wedding budgets?
Oh man, please do not reach out asking about wedding budgets. But you can follow me on Twitter at Jordan DeLugo. Check out all my work at JenJag.com and over at BlueChipScout.com for the draft stuff. So go follow Generation Jaguar at Generation Jag. Blue Chip Scouting at Blue Chip Scout, and again myself at Jordan DeLugo.
And there you have it, Generation Jag, biggest Jaguar fan site in the city of Jacksonville. Beautiful city. I gotta go there because my cousin just moved up there. So it feels like everyone lives in like the suburbs of Jacksonville. Well, everyone lives.
Yeah,
in suburbs.
The suburbs are massive in Jacksonville. I mean, it's the largest landmass city in the continental United States. So yeah. There's a lot of green space. There's a lot of new housing developments going up all over the place. We live more towards the core, close to downtown.
Okay, good.
But, yeah, there's plenty of suburbs around here.
Yeah, because the real estate in Florida is expensive, but her Jacksonville is still decent, at least for now.
Yeah, Jacksonville, there's some areas where it's crazy. And with the market the way it is, housing market, I mean, people are offering 50-plus over asking and not even getting the houses. So it's pretty wild. But, there's still some new developments you can get in pretty cheap.
Well, crazy. Now the Jacksonville Jaguars will have a promising couple of years. But anyways, you can reach us at thesportscast.net or on our Twitter at thesportscast1. Read about Steve Spurrier's restaurant in Gainesville. It's called Spurrier's. And I'll probably check it out hopefully when I swing up there. Jordan's a huge Gator fan, and I'm sure you'll probably visit there if you go back to Gainesville to visit.
Oh, yeah, that sounds great. I'll have to check it out. Hopefully he does better in the restaurant business than he did in the NFL.
You know, it's funny because I remember him. He was in the Alliance League like 2 years ago. He looked pretty bad shape. Like, he looked pretty old.
Yeah, I did enjoy that, though. They did so many, like, little press conferences and stuff. I think that was the right speed for him because it wasn't, like, ultra-competitive like the NFL. But he still got to go out and coach guys and help them, teach them up. And I think that was the right type of league for him to be in.
And it was called the Orlando something. And I think
Apollos, right?
Apollos, that's right. Well,
yeah,
didn't work out for Orlando. Another a football team. UCF still rules there. Anyways, Jordan, great to see you this lovely afternoon, Friday. And I hope you do well in your wedding planning.
Really appreciate it. We've got everything locked down, I believe. So now it's just waiting for the big day.
You got the flowers?
Yes. I mean, we don't physically have them yet, but we've got it all planned out.
I heard that's expensive. Anyways, a whole other podcast on that.
You don't want to know.
I'll see you. Bye.